Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of what is going on in the White House with the exit of the Chief of Staff as they gear up for a tough re-election campaign. And as results from the New Hampshire primary vote come in, the polls have just closed, we will speak with Mike Lux, the founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies, and discuss what seems to be shaping up as an Obama-Romney race this year. Then we'll be joined by Sarah Posner, the senior editor of Religion Dispatches and author of God's Prophets, that's P-R-O-F-I-T-S, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values. She has an article about Rick Santorum at Religion Dispatches, the GOP's race to the dark ages. And we will discuss the desperate scramble on the part of the religious right power brokers to find a suitable anti-Romney candidate. Then finally, we'll speak with the director of the Five College Program in Peace and World Security Studies, Michael Clare. As the possibility of a new war breaking out in the Gulf escalates, we will discuss his latest article, Danger Waters, the three top hotspots of potential conflict in the geo-energy age. Joining us now is Mike Lux, a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995, and is the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. He has an article at the Huffington Post, So Much for a Quiet Monday Afternoon, and another at the Daily Kos, Why Elections Matter. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lux.
Thanks for having me on.
And at this point, of course, the results are just coming in, 36% for Romney, 25% for Paul, 17% for Huntsman, 11% for Gingrich. I think that's with 11%. Santorum gets 10% and Perry gets 1%. I guess it's not much of a stretch to imagine an Obama-Romney race.
No, I think that's where we're headed. You know, I think there are two important stories coming out of New Hampshire, as far as we can tell from the early results. One is that Santorum was not able to consolidate the conservative vote, and I think if he had been able to come out of Iowa and sort of push Gingrich out of the way and kind of lessen Paul's appeal among some libertarian conservatives and consolidate more of that conservative vote, I think he could have been a strong challenger to Romney all throughout the rest of the race, because let's face it, most of the Republican electorate is not crazy about Mitt Romney, but he hasn't been able to do that. I think there's going to be South Carolina, you know, will once again see a split of the conservative vote, we may well see Romney win South Carolina. If that happens, then it really is done, I think. The other interesting story to me, though, is that Huntsman may have done himself enough good. We'll have to see what happens at the end of the results. But if Huntsman ends up doing as well as finishing second or tied for second, close to second with Ron Paul, he may emerge as someone who draws enough votes away from Romney in future, future states that it might give a Gingrich or a Santorum a chance to stay around longer. I don't see anybody beating Romney, you know, for the nomination, because he's just got too much money and too much organization all along the way. But the Huntsman emerging as an alternative would draw some votes away from him, away from Romney, which might make things a little more interesting down the road.
Well, Mike Lux, it seems, though, that the Republicans are being fairly pragmatic in their vote. Nobody's particularly excited about Romney, but the assumption is that he's getting this kind of support that he's getting because people want somebody to beat Obama, and that seems to be the one unifying fact amongst the Republicans. And given the split amongst the religious right vote, particularly where the spear carriers are Romney and Gingrich and Santorum, both of whom are Catholic fundamentalists, Perry was their hope. He fizzled. I'm wondering whether we're exaggerating that. I mean, it's true, and it's ironic that the Republican establishment, while assiduously rewarding the billionaires and millionaires in a slavish way, nevertheless have encouraged for decades these value voters. But at this election is going to be bad economics, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. The dominant thing that people are worried about, including the so-called value voters, the religious right voters, is economics right now. I mean, we've just gone through too rough a period for everyone, for economy not to be the number one thing on people's mind, and I think it does make it harder for a candidate like Santorum, who's running around talking about abortion and being against gay rights more than he's talking about the economy, although he does talk about the economy as well, in fairness. But when he's leading with those issues, I think it makes it harder for him. It's just not a year where you can lead with those kinds of issues and have a chance, even in a Republican primary like that, which is as conservative as a block of voters as can be.
Again, I'm speaking with Mike Lux, a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995 and has an article at the Huffington Post, So Much for a Quiet Monday Afternoon, and another at the Daily Kos, Why Elections Matter. So, what's going on at the White House then, Mike, with the exit of the chief of staff at the very moment when they should be gearing up, and presumably they are, for a very tough re-election battle? It seems to me that one of the most frightening statistics for Democrats is the extent to which the Republicans are gaining traction with blue-collar voters. And this has always been a fact of life, hasn't it been, that the way Republicans become a majority party is by peeling off Democratic votes. There's just not that many millionaires and billionaires out there.
Right.
And they do it very, very skillfully with the Reagan Democrats, et cetera.
Well, yeah, they've been doing it since the era of Nixon by appealing to their own version, frankly, of class warfare. I find it funny that they attack the Democrats for that when they practice it far more than our candidates do, and which is to the detriment of our candidates, in my view. So I think that the basic dynamic at the White House is, you know, when Bill Daley came in, the operative assumption was that, okay, the Republicans took control of Congress, or at least the House. We're going to have to deal with them. We're going to have to deal more with the business community because they're going to have more clout, and that the way to win re-election is to move to the center, whatever that means. But I think Washington people tend to think moving to the center means being more pro-business. I don't happen to actually think that. To me, the center vote, and the reason that Republicans do well sometimes is that blue collar, more populist vote, and they don't care at all about Democrats cuddling up to corporate America. But they also don't trust government, and that's why they're swing voters. They're swing voters because they don't trust government and because they don't trust corporate America. And so Washington's version of centrism doesn't work with those voters, and that's the mistake I think Democrats have made over many years.
But isn't this president?
Well, I was just going to say that was the operative assumption that the Obama people were making when Daley came in. A year later, they have come to accept, you know, what folks like me have been arguing for a long time, which is that you have to be more populist. You have to be you have to appeal to the Democratic base and excite them, but you also have to appeal to working class voters. And the way you do that is by being economic populist. Bill Daley was never going to be comfortable with that strategy, but that's the strategy that everybody else in the Obama White House is heading. So I haven't been the least bit surprised that he wanted to get out of there.
Well, that may have something to do with the Occupy movement, right? I mean, it's out there in the zeitgeist that there is this very, very powerfully framed reality of the 99% versus the 1%. And if you ever had a candidate that represents the 1%, Mitt Romney is tailor-made. I'm just astounded that this White House has been so corporate friendly. And been so late. I mean, first of all, they never went after Wall Street at the moment that they came in when they inherited this disaster. And believe it or not, it was the Tea Party who picked up on the outrage over what happened on Wall Street, which, you know, the left just left for them to grab.
Yeah, well, I think progressives did try to grab it, but. The Obama people completely butchered the politics of it, as well as the policy of it. I mean, they were way too Wall Street friendly in their policies, and that's what hurt them with voters. I think that is starting to change as the politics of it changed. But I'll give you one statistic from the 2010 election, which I think tells the ultimate story on this. That is that when asked who was to blame for the economy, you know, about a quarter of people said Bush, about a quarter of people said Obama, almost 40% said Wall Street. But of that 40%, Republicans beat the Democrats in the 2010 elections 56-42. Now you can't win an election. If you're losing the people who say that Wall Street's to blame for the economy, if you're a Democrat, you can't win the election if the people who say Wall Street's to blame are voting against you. But their perception was that Obama was a Wall Street guy, and that was one of the reasons they voted against him.
Well, isn't the most alarming statistic there, Mike Lux, is that in 2008, about 140 million Americans voted and swept the Democrats in. They got the trifecta, the White House, the Senate, and the House, which they hadn't had since Clinton came in 92. And 2 years later, they got creamed because only 75 million people voted, almost half of the number. So how do you, you know, obviously the challenge for this White House is to inspire the half of the electorate who didn't show up in 2010.
Yeah, you know, I think, but you have to remember that 2010 being an off year.
I understand election, the mathematics of off.
There are less people who come out to vote, but I did think it was very significant that, for example, African Americans and young people who were the two constituencies who were most inspired by Obama in the 2008 election. Both of those dropped off dramatically in the vote in 2010. They were no longer inspired, and that was a very big deal for Democrats. That, you know, if our base voters, the voters who are most excited about us, don't turn out, we're dead. We cannot win this election without those groups turning out, and it's very hard to turn them out in a tough economy. I mean, I was knocking on doors in some tough neighborhoods, 2010. Friends of mine were, staff of mine were, and we were finding people who were saying, you know, I'm just too focused on trying to get a job to worry about politics right now. I haven't been thinking about the election. I don't want to. I just need to get a job. When you got a tough economy, it's Democratic base voters who usually are the most affected by it who are not going to turn out to vote.
So with Romney now at well, he's around 35%, Ron Paul at 24%, Huntsman at 18%, Gingrich at 11%, Santorum at 10%, Perry at 1%. It makes you wonder what the hell Perry's doing in there. Do you think he's made some deal with with Romney to just be a spoiler in South Carolina? I mean, even Romney is not craven enough to put that buffoon on in the cabinet, is he?
Well, you know, he might be. I think Romney's craven enough to do anything, honestly. I mean, he enjoys firing people, after all.
Well, he was referring, to be fair to him, he was referring to firing vendors and companies that don't provide good services.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. But I wouldn't put such a deal past him. I think Perry's theory, in fairness to Perry, is he didn't even campaign in New Hampshire. His theory is he's going to go to South Carolina and try to win there and revive his campaign. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding, though, Mike Lux, from people that I've spoken to at Harvard who put on these seminars, they still do it. They go for a weekend where they get the head of the religious right, rubbing shoulders with the head of a big union. And that Barack Obama, when he was at Harvard, just loved to go to these things, and he really is a genuine centrist in the sense that he wants to be bipartisan, and look where that's got him. Has he really learned the lesson? Because I know when he came in, Pelosi and others tried to tell him he was wasting his time, but they spent so much of their time reaching out to the Republicans and. They've got nothing but abuse and really insult. I think I think there's a genuine disdain for that they have towards Obama that borders on kind of racism. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, I think you're right about all that. I do think that the Obama folks seem to have learned their lesson to some extent, at least. I think that trying to be bipartisan is always going to be Obama's first instinct. If he gets reelected, he may go back to that some. But I do think that this last year taught him and the team something about just how far the Republicans have gone off the deep end in terms of being willing to work. Like I said with Daley, when they brought Daley in, they thought Daley was going to be the guy who could cut these deals with Republicans in the business community. And what they found out is that the Republicans are so far off the deep end, they're not even listening sometimes to the business community on some of these issues.
Right, and the business community is sitting on trillions of dollars that could
exactly.
Get the economy kick-started back into gear. Just in the last couple of minutes there, Mike Lux, it seems to me there are a couple of wild cards here, as much as we're discussing, how the election may work out between Romney and Obama. It seems to me that, one, Obama's fate may well be in Merkel's hand in Germany, because they still haven't got their hands around the euro. And if that tanks, that's going to ripple across here. And it's also conceivable that Netanyahu's going to do something crazy, and he's close to the Republicans. There's a real incendiary mix going on there in the Straits of Hormuz, where miscalculations could lead to war, and at the very minimum, the price of gas goes through the roof. As you know, Republicans have been skillful over the years, since the Republican Party is largely owned by big oil, that they've always lowered the price of gas at election time, mysteriously. But the reverse could happen in this election year.
Yeah, the world, the economy, and then of course, the Middle East. There are so many landmines out there, and if Obama can negotiate them, it will be a minor miracle. I would say this though, I think Democrats win in tough times. If they're the incumbent. The Democrats that have won over the last century have run or have won by running tough populist campaigns by going after big oil for manipulating gas prices, by going after the big banks for causing economic collapse. And I think that's what Obama is going to have to do. And if he does that, I think he can actually survive, even more economic problems. But that's the kind of campaign he has to run, is he has to take it straight to the American people and tell them, look, things are screwed up because these big companies that are manipulating things are out of control, and I'm going to fix that, and the Republicans aren't. And I think especially when the foil is Mitt Romney, I think he's got a chance at making that sale.
Well, Mike Lux, I thank you so much for joining us here today, and I hope to revisit you. It's going to be a long, contentious, painful, and expensive year.
Yes, it sure will. It'll be a wild ride with lots and twists and turns. So thanks very much for having me on. I'd be glad to come on back on anytime.
Thanks a lot. Again, I've been speaking with Mike Lux, who's a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995. He's the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be, and has an article at the Huffington Post, So Much for a Quiet Monday Afternoon, and another at the Daily Kos, Why Elections Matter. We're going to take a brief station break and move back talking with Sarah Posner about her article, The GOP's Race to the Dark Ages.
Says he's got a big boat, but it's just a ferry boat that makes for a shore ride. Says he's got a fast boat, talk about high speed. Get your oars back in the water, kid.